Leolo. If you're tuning in for the very first time, I do ask that you please subscribe and hit that notification bell. If you've been a part of this journey, I hope you thoroughly enjoy this episode. So, on today's special episode, I'm joined by a very, very special man. He goes by the name of Coach Kevin Johnson. Coach, how are you doing?
Thank you, Leolo. And thank you for having me on your show.
Leolo, thank you. Thank you for coming. And I look forward to the conversation. You know, I know that very knowledgeable, and there's lots of stories, lots and lots of stories.
Knowledgeable? I don't know, huh? maybe lots of stories, yeah. Knowledgeable, I think we always have time to learn every day.
So, Coach, where it all started was in Chelsea. How do you get into football at that age, and what inspires you to head into football and become a professional footballer?
Yo, look, I've been playing football since 5 years old.
Yeah,
it's normal for any boy, I think, at a young age, to play football in the streets, because that was the cheapest sport that was going around, and didn't need much, just needed your bare feet, a ball, and a street.
Yeah.
So it started all in a place called Tonfontein, where it was mixed, and we had a family and things like that, and then. They moved us to, in this apartheid movements, they moved us to a place called Westbury. And that's where, maybe you can say, it really, really started. Playing for amateur teams, working your way up to playing in a constructive league, which is Bosman Football Association, Westbury Football Association. And then trying your luck a little bit at professional football, playing for Boston Chelsea.
Yeah.
But that's where it actually stopped, because of my political mind. And also because of Madiba. Probably the biggest influence in my life has always been Madiba. And the fact that when he came out, he said, sport will reunite South Africa. And I said to myself, what better thing than to go into coaching? Yeah, I had a very, 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 very good job at the time. And then I went into coaching after, not necessarily having an injury or something like that, but I started coaching Bosman Chelsea Colts. We had a Colts league. And out of that, already, at that stage, I had one player that went to play for Kaizer Chiefs. His name was Jacques Moody. He was one of the first left backs. Not first left backs, but in that together era that went, his name was Jacques Moody, and went to play left back for Kaizer Chiefs, if I remember. And then, from there onwards, Chelsea got defunct and relegated, but we moved on.
Yeah.
And we started coaching in Soweto, which was a group of us, and that group, out of that group, maybe all of us have still stayed friends, which is very good, because we were not a group of coaches that were following each other or following a certain person. We were a group of coaches that were open-minded, and we stole from the world. And later on, I will give the name or the names of those people that they're still involved in football.
Yeah.
From there, we started the Transnet training centers with Neil Tovey. And then it became so big and so successful, those clinics we used to run in the different provinces. We said to Neil, let's open up a school. And we opened up the School of Excellence. And that was very successful. And in that School of Excellence, we had people that I can still remember, or people that are still my friends for life. Farouk Khan, Junaid Mal, Mandla Mazibuko, Sipo Dandalanga, he was part of that.
Yeah.
Dan Manisela was part of that as well. But for me, the most important one is always be my friend, Simon Bata. He's now at Sundowns, but we've stayed friends for life. And from the School of Excellence, we went to IX Cape Town, myself. IX Cape Town went to Sundowns as the head of youth, also won the league with Sundowns, just a little bit going back, I escaped on, I travelled.
Yeah.
I travelled the ladder there, if I may say it, as a coach, then as the head scout, as the head of youth, and also the head of the PSL team for a little bit. But from there onwards to Sundowns, like I said, Sundowns, head of youth, assistant Gordon Ingerson, won the league.
Yeah.
On there, went to Platinum Stars with Miguel Gamondi, which is also still my friend for life. At Platinum Stars, the one thing that stands out besides my going back and forth was that we were the first team to beat Al Ahly in 50 years from the SADC region.
Yeah.
And the best thing was, they talk about the golden generation at Al Ahly, which is Abu Treka, Wael Goma, etc. You know, they had about 9 Egyptian players, international Egyptian players. And then the Egyptians never traveled, like to play in Europe or something like that. From there we went to Platinum Stars, head of youth. We opened up an academy, which produced very, very, maybe 4 good players. Now they still play. The one is Kabo Melo Khorisan. The other one is Gift Links.
Yeah.
The other one is Mabiliso.
Mabiliso.
There's a few others that are floating around. I just missed their names. But from there we went to coach the first team. Ended up second to Kaiser Chiefs. Kaiser Chiefs beat us with 1 point.
Yeah.
And then I went to Supersport. Supersport, yeah, a good run for who they were, what they were, and yeah, we didn't get what we wanted. We left, and we went back to Platinum Stars, where they won 2 trophies. They won the Telkom and MTN.
Yeah.
From there, where do we go to from Platinum Stars?
You then go to Amazon.
I'm thinking. Oh yes. And then we get an opportunity to go and work for what I thought, or what I still think, is probably, if run in the right mind, in the right space, probably the biggest team in South Africa. Only because of the history and because of the name. My opinion. There's nobody else in the world that can call themselves Amazulu. But Amazulu. And that for me is very important, and that was one of my reasons why I went there. Because you have Amazulu and you have Zulu Nation that is probably 4.5 or 5 million people in KZN. And they all support Amazulu if you get them on the right track. And that was my vision. But it went very well in the first season, even though we got docked 6 points, which for me was out of my hands. I didn't know about those things. So just a bit of information. After 6 or 7 games, we were, I think, number 5 on the log. And then comes the dock points, and then number last on the dock. You know, the mentality and the whole preparation after that for the players was very, 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 very difficult. But we get over that, and we end up in a good space, not in the top 8. We miss out the top 8 by 1 point, I think. But we don't miss out. We actually play very good football. And even after that, when you look at the Benny era at Amazulu, most of those players played for me as well. So we built something, and we were proud that we developed something that would go forward. Cut the long story short, we asked to leave Amazulu, and we at home for a little bit. And then we get a call. I'm going to have to mention this. But it's a short call. It's a very short call. We get a call to go to Black Leopards and we decided let's take this project on because it's 6 months since last we had a job, and we take this bull by the horns thinking that we know what's going on, and we call some of the few people that had been there before, and we sort of say, tell us what's going on, what type of institution am I going into? So, you gotta go and try. You know what I'm saying? And, the person who gives me that information is the man that was there before, because he was very successful there.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I go there and it's a complete mess. Because of the players not being in a certain frame of mind, the facilities that you use and things like that. We call it quits after.
Yeah.
Not long, I think. A month before it puts in pretty park. And we suffer a setback as a country, I think. We go into lockdown for 9 months. And those are difficult times being at home as a coach. It's very difficult times. You don't know whether to scratch your head or whatever, but it's not that bad in the first few months because everybody's in lockdown. Everybody's at home.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm at home by myself. Everybody's at home. You know what I'm saying? Even you were at home that time. And
I was in the streets.
Were you in the streets?
I'm joking.
Okay. We were in lockdown, and then time goes by, and Al-Ahli, I get a call from Pizzo Mosimane. He's looking for an assistant. And we go there. And like I said, over many, many interviews, being a football person, I've been stealing from the rest of the world for many, 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 many years. And when Ali calls, you don't ask what. You say, okay, I'll be there. Because it's just the experience. The experience to work with one of the biggest clubs in the world, and to understand the infrastructure and to understand where they come from. It's a lot. It's a major experience that I've had at Ali. And I spent 1.5, 2 years there, 1.5 years, and I come back with a league medal, 2 Champions League medals, African Cup medal, I think. And really, it's the experience is
phenomenal.
And on all, and I'm talking on all. On all levels, on the pitch, be it off the pitch, be it inside the hotel room, be it anywhere, it's just a phenomenal experience. And I'm grateful for that experience that I had there. But along the way, also, when you look at the education that I've got along the way, probably Ajax Cape Town was very, very, very important to me, because I got exposed to many, many, many tournaments. In Europe, I got the opportunity to spend 3 weeks with Louis van Gaal. I had the opportunity to spend 1 week with Johan Cruyff. And then before that as well, I mean, we had the opportunity of going to Brazil and studying in Brazil and spending a complete, I think, 2 months with Pereira and Zagallo. And they were the teachers at the time at the Brazilian university. So all those little things, and you talk about big names, besides big players that you met along the way, the big names as far as teachers are concerned was phenomenal. The teaching we got from the KMVB, a few of us, myself, Sam Mbata, Chris Rolloway and Lom, if you remember him, Maki Chenya was once upon a time the under 17 national coach, Tabu Dlala. The experience we got there was phenomenal because we met Hans. There were very, very big people there that was teaching us and showed us a lot about football. If you remember the famous Trinus Michels,
yeah,
was the total guy, total sports, total football.
Total football, yeah.
Johan Cruyff, we had an opportunity to spend time with him as well. And explain to us what the Dutch vision and all that's always been. It hasn't changed for a while, but the the mentality has changed a little bit.
Mm.
For example, also in Brazil with Pereira, he told us exactly how he won the World Cup. 94 World Cup, he said, this is how I won the World Cup. And we have all those are all what I call stealing with your eyes.
Yeah, what you mentioned about stealing from the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Coach, I want us to go back in time and have a look at some of the most important moments within your coaching career, you know. And one, you had mentioned the School of Excellence, which is something that I feel that we really have to go into depth because of how great the School of Excellence has been for South African football, you know. And the name, the most notable name that comes up with regards to School of Excellence is always Steven Pienaar. So what then do you see in a young Steven Pienaar, and are you then able to tell that this player is going to become a great footballer one day?
Steven and I have probably come from the same area, and he lives across the road from me. And there was a guy from the area that Steven played for, and that was when Steven was, I think, 10 or 11. 10, yeah, 11. And he said, come and watch my team. He didn't say, come and watch Steven Pienaar. Mm. He said, come and watch my team play. And one day we went to watch him, and I said, okay, let's pick four or five of them to come for the trial that the School of Excellence would normally hold.
Mm.
Like I said, the old trials. And I still have the pictures in my mind. It was raining. It was really a bad day for, not a bad day for football, but it was raining, that soft drizzle all the time.
Yeah.
And we were at Essendon Park. And there was about, there must have been about maybe 200-300 kids that we invited.
Yeah.
Because we knew that at the time how we used to run the trials was, you have to give the child enough time to play. Don't give him 15 minutes and say, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
No, we give them enough time. And for sure, there were other better players than Steven. I can tell you that from the area, there were better players than Steven. But there was something about Steven that we knew what he did and how he was able to hold himself on the pitch. A lot of us, when we scout, we look at what the player is doing with the ball, without the ball, and with the ball only, and we say, yeah, I can't do it, we can't teach him this. But there's certain things that God gives you that nobody can teach you. When you're not with the ball, what are you doing? When you're with the ball, what are you doing? When you've got the ball, who you pass it to? When you don't have the ball, where you run into? And Steven had those little bit of qualities that was above the rest. And we said, yes, bring him in. And we brought him in. And again, it's not me for Steven Pienaar, it's us for Steven Pienaar. I happen to be the man that was opposite the road from me. I was the one who went to fetch him by his mother's house. And every time someone spoke to Steven, he'd speak to me as a father figure. And that's the bond we, myself and Steven, built. But as far as coaching him and things like that, we all had a hand in making him what he is today. And yes, the School of Excellence made a lot of players, but we had a lot of similar things that we would do with the players all the time.
Yeah.
That we all do. And that was the good thing about the school.
The school
we were able to produce. For example, Steven went a long way. He's one of the few. But you also had Dominic Isaacs. You also had Sean Potgieter. You also had Dylan Shepherd. You also had Brett Evans. You also had Jeffrey Ntuka. You get what I'm saying? That's a few. But you also had Sienki. If I remember well, Supersport did also what Ajax Cape Town did. Supersport took 5 or 6 of our players, and they made the first team. In fact, when Pizzo started coaching Supersport United, he started coaching the core coming from the School of Excellence.
School of Excellence, yeah.
It's the same like Ajax Cape Town. Ajax Cape Town had a core that came from the School of Excellence.
Yeah.
So those are the things that for me is stand out for the school.
And when you mention that, because if you look at, like you've mentioned, you've touched on the history, and even I personally, when I was still playing in under 14s and I was playing for Tux, and we played against School of Excellence, these guys were just always their game intelligence was different, how they moved off the board was different, and how they were so comfortable on the ball, and their technical ability as well. What were some of the training sessions like? Because I always, always, always felt that School of Excellence players were just cut from a different cloth.
The biggest thing that we had there, we never played 11-11. We never practiced 11-11. Because the bottom line is football is not about 11-11. On the pitch, yes, there's 11 players, 11 players.
Yeah.
But where the ball is, it's always 3v3, 4v4, 1v2, 2v3. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm.
Whether in possession or out possession.
Yeah.
But on the pitch, where the ball is, there's always three players. There cannot be 11 players around that ball.
Because
then it will look like an under six. You understand?
Yeah.
So our training sessions, and this is going back to 1994, 1992. We never, ever, ever practiced 11-11 unless we were playing a game.
Mm.
But all our practice sessions, and this was a norm amongst us, all our practice sessions was never 11-11. Anybody who practiced 11-11, the other coaches would ask, why you practice 11-11? But at the same time, we never had those amount of players in our teams that allowed us to practice 11-11. So 11-11 was completely out of the box.
Mm.
And a lot of people in the modern day football
are
playing small-sided games.
Yeah.
Small-sided games is probably the biggest thing. And the Dutch have been doing it for 40 years.
Mm.
Now it's become modern. They say it's a modern game. It's not the modern game. It's how you structure.
Yeah.
It's been happening. And that's why you say when you were at Tux, that's why the School of Excellence would always look like they were a cut above the rest.
Yeah. Quality, quality, quality. So what then, you go from the School of Excellence, and actually one of the most iconic figures, a legend, and one of the greatest personalities within South African football, may his soul rest in peace, Coach Ted Dimitri. What was the experience like with regards to working with him and learning from him?
Ted was out to change football in the world.
Mm.
But he came with a good intention into South Africa, and may his soul rest in peace. We learned a lot from Ted.
Mm.
I cannot say we didn't learn from Ted. Because he was always watching. He was always making sure that we don't play 11-11, because he was like the technical director at the school in one moment.
Yeah.
Or at Chibuku Center.
Mm.
So we always argued. And that was his one of his strengths, was that he always tried to argue with you. To make sure that you do what you do best, or you learn after arguing about football. Because football, when you look at it, it hasn't changed. The football is going for 190 years, but it hasn't changed. It's still a round ball and 11-11.
Yeah.
Other sports may have changed. Maybe you made this, maybe you made that. Yet, but it hasn't changed. It's still 11-11. The rules might have changed a little bit. But this is what we learned from Ted. He showed us a lot, yes, but we also showed him a lot as Africans, because he's a European.
Mm.
And he comes from Romania, so he comes from even a more dominant society, whereby they run the athletes and things like that. And here we came, we were a little bit more relaxed, and we said we have to let the God-given talent come out in the players.
Mm.
And we were able to argue that all the time. We were able to argue that with him all the time, say, this is how it works, this is how it works. This is what we need to do, this is what we also need to do. This is the modern, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So yes, grateful for what he done for us, grateful for what he taught us as well. And we just got better. Because like I said, we were not coaches that wanted to coach because he was the leader.
Yeah.
No, we were coaches because we wanted to be the best.
Mm.
At making the best youth in the country at the moment, because that was the need that we said. Who is going to take the baton from the next generation? And we wanted to develop that generation. And God was on our side. We really made an impact.
Mm, definitely. And you then also mentioned, and this is something that I really admire about you as from a holistic perspective. You've come full circle as a footballing personality with regards to having been the head coach, having been as coach, having done the scouting, and that's something you experienced at Ajax Cape Town. How does that move happen from School of Excellence to Ajax Cape Town?
I think it was because a lot of the players that they took at the time were probably from my crop of players, or the group that I coached at the time, or the group that I was, you know, somehow responsible for. And then the head of youth at Ajax Cape Town, his name was Henk Davis, he offered me a job, and he, I don't know, he wanted to pay me something ridiculous, something like 500 rand or something like, but not worth the money.
Yeah.
To go to Cape Town.
Mm.
But then he came back. I think it was 3 weeks or a month later, and he said, "No, I'll give you this amount of money."
Mm.
And my children were still very young. They were, I think, the twins were 8 years old, and the baby was only a year old, and my wife was just finishing her studies. And I said, "What do you think of the, what are the prospects of this? Let's move to Cape Town." And she said, "Yeah, let's go."
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know a soul in Cape Town. We packed up and we went to live in Cape Town for 7 years.
Yeah.
But that was after Hank gave me a better deal,
mm-hmm.
and John Kavitas was the head of the he was the boss, and Rob Moore was the boss, and we went there and he said, "Yeah, we give you one team." And luck being on my side, I got a very, very good team at under 15. I coached the team, we did well, we did that, we did that. We got, we won the trophies, but that's because Ajax was everywhere, and Ajax was at the best. And then Steve Houck was the chief scout then.
Yeah.
And he coached the first team and he left. Chief scout was, the scouting department was open. And I said, "Can I apply for that job?" And I said, "Yeah, you can take it." And then, of course, I took the job as the chief scout. But it came with a lot of planning, a lot of where you go, how you do it, a lot of talking to Ajax Amsterdam on what their profile is of the chief scout.
Mm.
And that's where I stole with my eyes again.
Yeah.
And when you look back, there was there's so many players that came out of that, the way we scouted.
Yeah.
Dalen Klassen, Ashim Domingo,
sure.
Mubara. There was so many because...
And Peterson, for example.
Yeah, we scouted a whole generation and
we just
churned out players all the time. We churned out players because of the scouting program we had. And even in that part there, you've got to give credit to the guys who worked for the scouting department.
Mm.
We had tip givers, we'd say in Dutch, they call them tip givers. We had guys based in all areas in Cape Town, and they would give us tips.
Mm.
And we would give them money for those tips.
Mm.
They would say, "Come and watch this guy," and we would go, and if he's good, we'd watch him. And there was a structure how we did that.
Mm.
And those people that were involved there, and you've got to mention their names, because without them, I wouldn't have been successful. And this is how it went.
Mm.
Pazzi Jansen, Grompie was the guy from Khayelitsha, fantastic person. We had Jeff Isaacs, who was there as well. We had, those are the two names, those are the few names that I still remember. And we put all these groups together, and they just churned out players like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the last crop that we picked was the crop that of Ashim Domingo and Mubara, and some of them that play.
Riyad Nuruddin.
There's one that played Travis Graham.
Travis Graham.
Those are that was the last crop that we picked before I left.
Yeah.
Not before I left, but before I left the coaching, the scouting, and then went into being the assistant with Gordon.
So how does it make you feel then when you have a look at the fact that Ajax Cape Town is no longer, but now we've got Cape Town Spurs, you know, especially considering how monumental Ajax Cape Town was, you know, not just at the highest level in South African football, but at youth development with regards to all that quality you guys were churning out on a consistent basis.
Look, for now, I look at it and I there's a bit of a guys, it couldn't have happened that we were so good. I mean, you had Foppe de Hande, you had what's his name, Van something before then. You had Rob McDonald. We had good play. We had good people. You had Edmund Klaus, good people working there that maintained the standard, and you expected it to remain there for years to come. And now you find ourselves in the NFD, and you're not producing. You know, you've got to remember that when you bring something new, everybody's going to flock. But once they get used to it, and you are not treating them the right way, they're going to disappear, because now they're all going to Cape Town Spurs. I mean, Cape Town City.
Cape Town City.
You've got Cape Town City. You've got
Stellenbosch.
You've got Santos. There's other people that are doing
things the right way.
Or not the right way, maybe a little bit better.
Okay.
So the good players are not coming to you anymore. You've got to go and look for them, and you've got to make it more better for them to come to your club. So and that's the competition that you've got to steal from Europe. Because the best players, there's so many players in Spain, but they all want to go to Barcelona.
Yeah.
Why? Because Barcelona is the catalyst. There's best players in Europe, in Amsterdam. But where do they all want to go in Holland? They want to play for Ajax Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Because they're the best. There's good players in Egypt, but they all want to play for Ahly. Because they maintain the standard.
Yeah.
And that is what you need to do. So for me, it's a bit of a sour pill to swallow now, when I see where Cape Town Spurs has ended up. And not really dominating the first division to come out, but actually struggling to come out.
So
I'm not really happy for someone who's been there
and
knows what the facility is like.
So then how does the opportunity to become an assistant to Gordon Eyerson come about, and that move to Mamelodi Sundowns?
That's the big part. Because along the way, before Gordon comes, we had Rob McDonald, which is an English guy from Holland. He also coached there. But before then, it was because of my status as head of youth and the fact that along the way, we won three Bayou or four Bayou tournaments. You know, the biggest tournament in Cape Town.
Yeah.
The one I won myself, and the others I led. Duncan Crowley won it, Craig Rosley won it. But it was the way I led those coaches in order to teach them, pass the knowledge on how they have to get together in order to win it. And we won that trophy. I think they won it again now the other day.
Yeah.
Cape Town Spurs. How you win that trophy. And we won that trophy because it's just it's one of the biggest trophies before senior level. And then it was Rob McDonald and John Latham that were the head and the assistant coach. And then Rob left, and they asked me to come in. And I think John Latham said, no, he doesn't want to be the head coach. Can I do it? And I said, yeah, okay, let's go for it. All I had to do was save Ajax Cape Town from relegation. Let me save that. And then they brought in Gordon. We worked together for, I think, the one season. And because of my relationship with Neil Tovey, going back to the School of Excellence, Neil was the head of youth at Mamelodi Sundowns, if you remember. And I had left Ajax, and he phoned me and said, you want to become the head of youth here? I said, Neil, I can come back home. I just tell him that I can come back home. I said, can you make it happen? And he said, yeah. Maybe careful. I said, yeah, okay, it's about time you came back home. Yeah. Then my kids were just onto going to high school.
Yeah.
And the little one was starting school, and my wife had finished the studies. She had a good practice in Cape Town.
Yeah.
We were going to decide what's going to happen, and we said, well, let's go home then.
Yeah.
So okay, let's go home. Time. Cape Town is beautiful.
Yeah.
One thing about Cape Town, it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We came back, head of youth, Ajax. Sundowns. That is when Neil Toby and Miguel Gamondi won the league for Sundowns as joint coaches, if you remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the start. Then became the head of youth. They hired Gordon as the head coach. I think he was in his job for 2 months. Him and Farouk. Farouk left, I was there, because I was there already a few months before everybody else. And then Gordon said, come and join me. He said, hey Gordon, I'm just setting you up, but you know, it's life.
Yeah.
Do something, because I was used to it at Ajax Cape Town. So I became the assistant coach, and what a crop of players
at
Sundowns that won the league that time. I have to mention that.
Mm-hmm.
What a crop of players. Michael Manzini, Godfrey Sapula, Tori Alba, Acuna, Dylan Shepherd.
So do you remember?
May his soul rest in peace. Oscar Ndahai, Benson Mplongo. What a team. Brian Bloy, Calvin Marlin. What a team.
Do you remember how you guys set up?
They played 4-4-2.
So
if I remember, it was Brian or Calvin.
Yeah.
In goals.
Right back.
You had right back as Vuyo Mehta, Michael Manzini, sometimes Benson Mplongo, Oscar Ntahai.
And then in the midfield, what was the approach in midfield?
In the approach in the midfield, we always had, we played 4-4-2. You had Tori Alba and Sapula playing like that.
Yeah.
Like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would have, this would be Dylan Shepherd sometimes.
Yeah.
This would be Acuna and Surprise Moriri.
Okay.
And then yeah, you would have Brent Carlson. A lot of times we do it like that.
Yeah.
These two would change a lot of the time. And this one would change. Michael was always involved.
Mainstay, yeah.
Michael was always in. Sapura was always involved. Surprise would change sometimes. Surprise would play there. Godfrey would play, yeah.
Yeah.
But this would change also sometimes. Dylan would be out, and there was another player who would play there. Brenty would play. Vuyo would always be in involved. Vuyo was one of the store and
yeah.
And Oscar Ntahai, magic guy. I hope wherever he's seen, he's laughing at me and said, "Ah, coach, you are telling me." But that was the, and we had Acuna would come in as well, as a forward. Acuna, he would also be there, and Watford would be out.
Yeah.
But that's how we normally play 4-4-2.
Yeah,
and Gordon would always like to play with wingers as well, so we had the wingers in Dylan Shepherd and plenty of player. Yeah. We also had Tyron Aronson would come in sometimes and be involved, yeah.
Yeah.
Who else was a notable player? Benson. I'm thinking that there was a player here in the midfield who I'm cutting him off completely and I shouldn't. Ezra Miando.
Yeah.
He was probably the strongest there.
Yeah.
As a defensive midfielder. Sometimes it would be like that.
Oh, so a three-man midfield in a sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one sitting midfielder.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But most of the time, Ezra would be here.
Yeah.
That was the biggest one. And then, of course, you had Tori Alba who scored the goals for us all the time.
Yeah.
So we'd sometimes play with two tens, just like that.
Yeah.
With wingers. One holding midfielder.
Yeah.
But these would always come back. They'd always come back, and these would always come back. And form the four, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
4-4-2. But most of the time it would be like that, and like that, And sometimes, if it did happen, they would overlap.
Yeah.
And you'd come inside like normal. So you'd always get a good attacking team.
Yeah.
And they were really good. Sorry, attacking team.
Yeah.
But that was the team that I can remember.
Yeah. And what makes Surprise really such a special player? You know, because he's one of those players that I look at and think, he always seems as if he's playing at his own pace and he's always got time on the ball. What do you make of his qualities as a player?
The big thing about Surprise was his composure on the ball for me.
Mm.
And his first touch.
Yeah.
His first touch was next to nothing, and his ability to find the pockets of space, like they say nowadays, the pockets.
Half spaces,
yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The half spaces, to find those spaces, that's what made him separate, but most importantly was his first touch and his composure on the ball.
Mm.
And a lot of players, when you look at them, their first touch is always, their eyes are always on the ball.
Yeah.
Surprise, eyes were never on the ball. he knew where the ball was coming, so he just had to put his foot there and control it and then carry on. So in his first touch, his head was already looking where he's going to make the next touch.
Yeah.
So that was one of his strengths.
Mm.
His ability on the ball, his composure on the ball, and his calmness in the game.
Mm.
When to turn the screw on, when to turn the screw loose. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When to make it quick, when to make it slow.
Yeah.
He had that. He had that in the game.
Yeah. So, coach, from that then, you do move to Platinum Stars, you know, but one thing then I'd like to really touch on with regards to your stint at Platinum Stars, well, there was a couple of stints, but the 2012-2013 season, where then you finished second, just 1 point behind Kaizer Chiefs. What was special about that team and those group of players?
If I put it in a nutshell, and I start from the top, then I can tell you we had probably the best facility in the country. That's what made us different.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I had players in the change room who were willing to lead the team and make the team better all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not Kevin Johnson. None of this, what we talked about, was Kevin Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
It was me showing people what they do and them going out and doing better. And when I look at it, I start from my... If you phone them now, they'll tell you that was the best team I've worked with.
Mm.
And they'll tell you it was because I was able to do my thing in conjunction with the head, how we wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking from... I'm talking from a medical point of view.
Yeah.
I'm talking from a fitness point of view. I'm talking from a technical point of view, and I'm talking from a tactical point of view.
Yeah.
How we did it. I mean, there was the biggest joke,
yeah.
And I have to share this with you, was
yeah.
in that session.
Yeah.
We were once doing a shooting session, and the one kid guy, because the facility was so good, but there were some pitches that were, the pitch was fantastic, but
yeah.
Outside the pitch there was a little bit of a bush.
Mm.
So the guys that used to do the kit and drive, and they would sit there while we start in the training session.
Yeah.
And we do this, and then the training session, we'd be doing the finishing drill, and the balls were going
yeah.
everywhere else but in the goals, and it was going there.
Mm.
And the kid guy, he stands up there and he says, "Coach, you know what? This is really, really a bad, bad session because I'm full of blackjacks here in the bushes." We still share the joke.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was it. But like I said, from the top, when I talk about facility, the Royal Bafokeng was excellent. Was
yeah.
It. But the players, if I look at it, we had Ponjani.
Mm.
Right? Ponjani was there.
Yeah.
My left back was Lugo Wetum Peta.
Mm-hmm.
My center backs. Oh man. Benson was one.
Yeah.
For a while. And the one next to Benson was
Just go direct. Go get back to your center.
Vuyo Mere?
Yeah. Do you, what, let's just go into Vuyo Mere a bit. It seems as if throughout your coaching career, you'd often find yourself in a situation where you have the privilege of working with Vuyo Mere. What relationship do you guys share, especially considering that you've worked together at multiple clubs?
I think it was just a matter of him being there when I came along.
Yeah.
And the fact that Vuyo also spent a lot of time in Cape Town with Hellenic.
Yeah, Hellenic.
And when Vuyo told me the story, he says, "Ah, coach, you know what, I came for trials at the School of Excellence and you rejected me, so I went to Hellenic." I said, "Oh, so I'm sorry." Mm. But he's always been a good player, a good person to rely on, someone who can follow instructions, someone who plays the game with his heart and not for money, but you can see that's why he's still playing now. Mm. Yeah, I had probably one of the best in Robert Ngambi.
Mm. Quality player.
Fantastic player. What a human being. He was able to do everything, work hard, and push the players, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Next to Robert, I can't. Yeah, I had a player by the name of Scorpio. Tinswalo Shabalala.
Yeah. Hard worker.
Yeah. Very, very good, much a team player.
Mm.
Very, very, very much a team player.
Yeah.
Who did I have here? I'm trying to think now who I had here. Yeah, it was...
Sopan.
Thank you very much for telling me that. Yeah, I had Laza.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had Laza.
Yeah.
Sopan.
Very quick.
This one was Enrico Buertes.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Mm.
And this one was... Who was he now?
Again?
Sotso played?
Mm-hmm.
Sotso played here.
Off the left?
He played here also sometimes. Sotso played here a lot. But he used to share this with Zongo.
Yeah.
Masibu Sisu Zongo.
Yeah.
Zinswalo.
Yeah.
Yeah, was, you're right, Ngeli used to play here quite often.
Yeah.
Sotso played. But there was a lot of players that came in, came out, youngsters. You know, like Horisan came here.
Yeah.
Gift came here. There was a boy named Katlejo, Katlejo Kune, he came here, very, very, very good. I thought he was going to make it. He never got a chance.
Yeah.
He scored the goal for us in the CAF Champions League that made us go through to the next round. And he was magic. He was fantastic. I didn't figure out this guy yet. I had Robert and I had... Aha! Soli Mate.
Yeah, I remember him.
And Soli Mate and Rob Ngambi. Those are the main players.
And you'd also get forward and also chip in with goals.
With the goals? All the time. Robert would always be late.
Yeah.
He'd always come in late. There was one time when Zongo was on the pitch.
Yeah.
He crossed the ball and Robert Ngambi
finished
the ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
He would always make our life a lot easier, Enrico. He had so much energy, so much will for the game, and he could score goals. Not fancy goals, but he scored goals.
Yeah.
He had the tenacity to score goals. One of the best foreign imports I think we had in South Africa at the time.
Mm. And then moving on to SuperSport United, when you do get the call, what is going through your head with regards to where they were prior to appointing you because of obviously the success and the trophies they had won. Do you then feel like I can replicate that or take them to the next level? And what was the call like from Sam Matthews?
Look, it was a very inviting call. Come and take my team. I want to go to the next level. I haven't been there for a while. All I've been is in the top 8. You know, SuperSport had never been out of the top 8.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to do it. I see you've done it at Platinum Stars. Is it possible? And when I look at the team, maybe I was out of sight. because I didn't know the dynamics of the team. Sometimes they say the grass is not always greener on the other side. And I knew my team that I was leaving, what it was like and the facility we had and things like that. I should have looked at that, but in saying that, yeah, it's not a mistake. It's a go and try to see what happens. And we had good players at SuperSport. Take nothing away.
Yeah.
I mean, they were very, very good players at SuperSport. You had the likes of Ronald Williams, you had Michael Morton, you had Bevan Fransman, you had Tuso Pala, you had Manyama. Who else did we have?
Was a young boy by the name of Monet now you gave an opportunity.
Good, yeah. We had Clement Erasmus as well. Monet now was very good. He was supposed to go places. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
Why he didn't do that. He was the... This was the team that actually beat Manchester City.
Manchester City, yeah.
And then the same year, Manchester City won the league.
Yeah.
With Pellegrini.
Yeah. Because I remember you brought Monet now on in the last 15 minutes. He changed the game. It's a beautiful reverse pass that he plays.
To Clement Erasmus to score the goal.
Yes.
Yeah, we had Shamir Touti as well, which was... going through lots of stages in his life. But he played for me. He played a little bit. Who else did we have? Right back, left back. Left back we had... what's his name? He comes from Durban. I know he comes from Durban. I just have to see how to pronounce it, but we had, I think it was Doctor, Doctor, you know Doctor, the guy they called Doctor? He played for SuperSport.
Yeah.
Oh, but anyway.
Yeah.
I can't remember the names.
Yeah. So I think one of the things then, coach, that stand out when it comes to your career and having a look at how well-traveled you are and how much knowledge you've gained over the years would obviously be then the opportunity of being in Egypt. How much was that experience a culture shock? Because you then come from South Africa, you've been to all different parts of South Africa, you're now then in Egypt. Like, what did you learn in Egypt, and what were some of the cultural values that you picked up?
This is where the word diversity comes to me. And this is where I look at where I found 109 years of a football team, the age. And that's why I say AmaZulu is so important. AmaZulu is the oldest team, 85 years old, 90 years by now. But when I look at Al Ahly, and you see the shock for me was the close-knit of the players knowing exactly what the previous players did. You understand?
Yeah.
And their inquisitive minds, not from a professional age, but from a young age, as to who the players were before them and how they would talk about the players before them and what those players done. And what I would do is I would go onto the internet and look and see, is this one pulling my leg or does he know what he's talking about?
Yeah.
Like, for example, the goalkeepers are very young guys. They were very young, some of them were very young. The one goalkeeper, Schubert, his father is an ex-Ali goalkeeper as well. But because he spoke English, that's why we were able to. And he would tell me, do you know the president? I said, no, I just know him as Captain Dibo. Wow, but I knew he was a player. He said, my friend, go look at that man's games and you will see what type of man is that. That's why he's got so much respect. That's why he does this and that. Go look at my father's games and you see. And true to his word, they know all the generations that come before them. You understand? And that is why the culture of the club is so strong. They never forget
where they come from.
Not where they come from, who was before them. And what was before them. What those players did in order to make how many supporters they have? They have 60 million supporters. What did those players do before them to make 60 million people scream their names? You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
And that is the diversity that I found, or that is the diversity, that the culture that I found is so strong in that club. It's one person when I see, when I look at, there were times when we were able to walk and go into a crowd that was seated, and when the president comes, everybody stands up.
Mm.
You understand?
Yeah.
That's the respect that 109 years of working together has brought. The respect, and I saw that in Holland with Johan Cruyff and Louis van Gaal, where people did the same thing.
Mm.
But in Egypt, it was a little bit more, of a shock, because I could see the power that this man carries.
Yeah.
And the power that the team carries as well, especially the generations before them.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that for me is what we need to learn as South Africans. We need to respect. We need to give KZ Town, we need to give Ivan Khoza, we need to give Jomo Sono platforms where kings can walk on.
Mm.
You understand? Yes. They have to be appreciated. We don't do that. He's out. No, you need to give him that respect.
Mm.
Because he's built his team to the next level. We need to bring that diversity together.
Mm. Mm. So, coach, we've got two segments. The first segment is titled The Coach's Corner. Then the second segment is titled The Best 11. But we'll start with The Coach's Corner. So, in The Coach's Corner, I'd like for you to give me your top five best South African coaches. Of all time.
Of all time?
Yes. Your opinion.
Okay, let's put these men down.
Yeah, let's take these players out.
They can be foreigners? No.
No.
South Africans.
So we'll do this. Because it's you, coach. You'll give me your top five South African, then you can give me your foreigners as well.
Then you're foreign.
Okay.
Okay. For me, number one, from where I come, who I am, Simon Mbatha.
Number one.
He's a local coach.
Yeah.
He's been my. You have Pizzo. You gotta put them there. You have I gotta think. You've given me something now that I gotta think about who's done this, who's done that, and it's, for me, it's not about trophies.
Mm.
It's about what you've done and how you've done that.
Yeah.
There's. I gotta put Ted Dumitru there as well.
Okay.
That's two.
Two more left.
For different reasons, for different way of playing the game and bringing a different mentality, I think. I've got Sam, I've got Pizzo, I've got Ted. Oh, Ted is a farmer.
Yeah.
Take him off.
I was going to be very lenient with you. I was going to allow you so we can put him on this side.
I got to put Gavin as well.
Gavin Hunt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Got to put Gavin down there. Sam. But he has never coached in the PSL. Huh?
Mm.
Never coached in the PSL. It's just that I know he's a very, 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 very good coach.
Yeah.
At development level. And he brings a lot to South African football
mm.
that people don't appreciate.
Mm.
And for me, that's why his name is there.
Yeah.
you're going to appreciate the amount of work he has done to create many people. Peter Mosimane, Gavin Hunt, trying to see who we have.
Who are you going to put at number four?
We have to have number four. He's number four and number five. I've got many in my head. Steve Ovo, Steve Compella.
Yeah.
And then I've got a young man that worked with me, that I know he does a good job, and he can go far, Alan Clark.
And that's your top five?
That's my top five people I can coach, I think, for different reasons.
Yes.
Salim Bata, Peter Mosimane,
Kevin Hunt.
Kevin Hunt, Steve Compella,
Alan Clark. Hey, coach, and then Ted stands on his own. Yeah,
on his own.
Yeah. So, with how the game has developed, we are now seeing it becoming more prevalent with regards to co-coaches. But you did touch on it earlier on in the episode that it did happen in years before. What is your take on co-coaching?
I personally don't enjoy the co-coaching thing.
Yeah.
Because I do believe that someone has to lead the team. How you lead the team is the problem. Mm-hmm. Whereas co-coaches, you always get one pulling this way, one pulling that way. I believe that can happen. So for me, it's just, if you're the boss, make someone else the boss.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? And don't employ co-coaches, because co-coaches is, when the going gets tough, who gets the blame?
Mm.
Who takes the blame? Because we have to, if the corporate, in the corporate world, the CEO gets the blame. When things don't work out well, the CEO must take the brunt, and he has to come up with questions, and he has to come up with answers as to why the second assistant didn't do the job properly.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Whereas you have co-coaches, a lot of times when things don't go well, then you see someone shies away, or this one shies away, or that one doesn't talk. It's always easy to talk when things are rosy.
Mm.
The difficult part is when things are not rosy. Now you need to stand up. And a lot of times when that's been happening, you find the person that's been talking, or he was talking a lot, or he was co-coach, now all of a sudden he's not there anymore. So he's gone into hiding and say, no, you know what, I was told long ago I'm the co-coach, but the speaker will be X.
Mm.
So why aren't you taking the stand now?
Mm.
No, X doesn't want to. You get what I'm saying?
I understand.
There's those things. So for me, it's always, co-coaches. We can be co-coaches on the field.
Yeah.
But when it means to lead the team and to make public announcements and things like that, I will be the only one.
Yeah.
We won't be, you say, I say. No. We can't mislead people like that. You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
So then, it's because of the world we live in.
Yeah.
The world we live in is very social. And it's very, how could I put it, media orientated.
Mm.
So I tell you something, when I look on the games, and like I said earlier on, it's still with the eyes, the guy that sits next to Pep Guardiola, have you seen how influential he is?
Very influential.
But have you ever seen him speak about the team?
Never.
Thank you. You answered my question. You understand?
I understand, coach.
And that's exactly what I talk about. When you see his demeanor, sometimes it's... But who talks about the team? Pep Guardiola.
And that's it?
That's it. The guy that worked with Marcelo Bielsa, the same.
Yeah.
The guy that works with Jurgen Klopp, is the same. You see the demeanor next to the bench and on the bench is similar to that of a head coach.
Yeah.
It's similar. So co-coaching there is part of the deal.
Yeah.
The guy who works with Pochettino is the same thing.
Yeah.
But who leads the team? Or who talks about the team?
Yeah.
not necessarily the head coach, but the person who has been put in charge to do those things.
Yeah.
Not one with me, one with you. It's hot. You five, I go five.
Yeah.
One down, you go.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those are, because then for me, it's all about the consistency and the information that you're feeding the public.
Yeah.
That's what kind of boils down to.
So, coach, the last segment. I can't let you go without this one. This one is my favorite.
Really?
This one is titled The Best 11. So, I want the best 11 players you've coached. It can be all across the board. All across the board. Doesn't matter at which stage of your life, but the best 11. I need a formation and I need your captain. So, let's go, coach. Who's your goalkeeper?
Ha! Is this told by the world? Okay, if I think, and I think properly,
yeah.
Brian Beloy.
Where does he rank in terms of South African goalkeepers?
Now, I think he would be good. Spider-Man is really, 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 very, very, very good.
Yeah.
In a lot of things, character-wise, football-wise, handling-wise,
yeah.
he was very good. I think he was one of the better players that we know. So yeah. I'll put him there.
So you got Brian Beloy there. Who do you have at right back?
One of them have to be Michael Manzini.
Mm.
For sure, Michael Manzini.
Yeah.
The other one that I really, really enjoy, and I've worked with him recently, and he stands in my head, but there's two as well, but he really stands in my head, is Badr Benoun, the Moroccan.
Quality.
Yeah.
Badr Benoun. Left back? There's a lot.
I've got Ali Malou.
Quality.
I've got Oscar Ndakhai. I've got Louvo Mbeta. I've got Bumba Biliso. And good players, huh?
Very good players. You see, this is why this is my favorite segment.
And I've coached young and old. I'm going to put someone that I've worked with from a young age.
Mm.
It's Boom Mabiliso.
Mabiliso.
Yes.
Mm.
Fantastic player.
Mm.
Great.
Yeah.
I believe he can go far.
Yeah.
Okay. What do I play? I like to play 4-2-3-1. Yes. You can put one. You can move them. Don't worry. Those two, yeah. That I've worked with.
Yeah.
Come now. The one that I really, 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 really like is Suleya. I'm a Suleya.
Yeah.
The vice captain or the captain of the national team.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
You know him?
I love him. I love him. That, you know that Al Ahly midfield three? You got Hamdi Fati, you got Alu Dien, you got Sulaya.
No, you know your football. I like him.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
He has to come. There's another player. I've got many players here.
Yeah.
That can fight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I gotta look at it.
Mm.
that I've coached, that I've worked with, that I love working with. Stephen Pinner.
Off the right hand side.
Yeah.
What do you think is his best position?
Stephen?
It's a 10. Yeah, and you can look to drift in.
Yes. I'm going to go there, I'm not going there. I left right there. On the left, can play. Dylan Shepherd.
Dylan Shepherd.
Yes.
Sorry, you're on. Yeah. Pause. Okay, sorry, coach.
Quick second.
I'm taking too long, eh?
No, never.
Section of
pictures. It's only been 1 hour, 12 minutes. But I love the conversation. this is what we do. Are you happy? Are you enjoying the conversation?
Yeah, I'm enjoying the conversation.
Yeah. Okay, good to go, coach. So, left hand side, Dylan Shepherd.
Yeah. Stephen.
Yeah. There's a lot here.
Too many.
So many.
Good surprise.
You want to leave it and go to a striker, then you'll come back here?
A striker as well.
Okay.
I got an out and out striker. We can score goals. I got two of them.
Yeah.
Sherif and Henrico Portas.
Yeah.
Can I have subs?
No, yeah, your subs. It's fine, you can have subs.
You have two subs.
Yeah, you have two. But you can have from the red, it's just color.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, I will have Enrico Bottas and Sherif Mohammed.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Okay.
Okay, that's two.
Okay.
Yeah, I will have Afsha and Surprise Muriri.
Yeah.
And then here, I'll have another one. Yeah, there's two. Because remember, I must start this one.
Yeah.
This is Suleya. Ah. I have to have, there's two, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. Diane can be one, and Robert Nkambi can be the other one.
Yeah. I think it's fitting, because Diane... Where's red for Al Ahly, so.
Diang one, yeah. And Robert Ngambi.
And Robert Ngambi. And that's your best 11.
That's my best 13.
Best 13. Who's the captain?
Michael Manzini.
Captain's the side.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just go through it. So, Brian Malone.
Yes.
Mabiliso.
Yes.
Badr Benoun.
Yes.
Michael Manzini?
Yes.
Vuyo Mere?
Yes.
Sulaya?
Yes.
Robert Ngambi?
Yes.
Diang?
Yes.
Dylan Shepherd?
Yes.
Surprise Afsha?
Yes.
Stephen Pinar?
Yes.
Sherif Henrico Bottas?
Yes.
And that's your best 13?
That's my best. I think I can win the World Cup.
You think you can win the World Cup? Hey! So, coach, in closing, when you look at your career, what is one moment that stands out for you? What's that one special moment that you look at and you say, this is the moment I'll forever cherish?
Is the moment as a young coach, we won the... Is the moment that we were allowed to meet Nelson Mandela because of sport.
Mm.
And it came... It's a combination of a lot of things. My old political view, my ability to meet a statesman like he is, and or like he was, and the ability for him to actually tell people around him, since when do you leave children standing outside waiting for me? The humbleness of the few words that he spoke made me made me think what I'm going to be in the future.
Mm.
And that really, really taught me a lot, because it was, like you said, it was in the beginning of your career, and you were able to meet the statesman that the world was looking at. And here you are, you had ideologies in your head as a young man, and you said to yourself, I want to follow those footsteps, not become the president, but follow those footsteps and follow those mentalities. And early on we were able to do that, and that has always been part of my growing up, if I may say, into the coaching world. Because no one knew me, no one knew the children that we were coaching, but he made sure everybody after that meeting with him, everybody knew me, who we were and who he was. You understand what I'm saying? So for me, that is one moment. In football, yes, you get other moments whereby you meet Johan Cruyff, you meet Rinus Michels, you meet Carlos Pereira, you meet Zagallo. These guys have played World Cups and things like that, but that is just part of the game. Meeting a man like him, like Madiba, and firstly telling the people that work for you in front of us, not being rude, who gave you the permission to allow those people to stand on the stoop and wait for me? You understand what I'm saying? Come inside. Long ago. And when they still wanted to talk about security and things like this, who of these people have got a gun?
Yeah.
The thing they thought, no. You know, so he gave them a lecture, but not a boss lecture. He gave them a lecture of humanity that made them feel small on how he was, how they were treating other people. And that for me was important, because as I grew older, I always knew, don't disrespect people for who they are or for what you think you see. Respect them all the same way. And that for me is important.
And that's what stands out.
That's what stands out for me, completely.
So, coach, going into next season, are you in Africa? Or DSTV Premiership? Or overseas?
We don't know, eh? Football can take us to many different parts of the world. I pray that the football gods are on my side, and we're able to get something better, or something with a lot more structure involved in it, or something with, if it's something that people want to build, then that's the space where we'd like to be. If it's somewhere where we want to be results driven, then I'd like the people who employ you to say, you know what,
this is what we want.
I'd like that to happen to me in the next round, where people will be honest and don't butter me up just to put me on the bench. You know, the best coach, this, that, that's going to bring the results. No. It's time in my career where I need people to say, I've got a 5-year plan. Here's a 4-year contract. Develop it like this. This is where you have to be. This is where you don't have to be. If you're not here, you know you're going to go. If you're here, then let's do it together. And we build it. If not, these are the things we have. We need the results. Why? Because if we don't get the results now, we don't get a sponsor. X, Y, and Z. So you know exactly how to run the players, or how to run whatever. You have an adaptation phase where you can actually adapt to those things, and you can understand. So we've learned a lot. We've come a long way in life. So the next thing is that. But the biggest thing for me is to try and start a place for the next generation. I think we don't have enough next generation players coming through. I'm trying to find the next Lucas Khadebe, and we don't have them anywhere in the PSI. And I'm only saying this because there's nobody that's been able to emulate Lucas Khadebe. Yes, Steven's done it, Dylan's done it, Brett's done it, you know what I'm saying? But I want to find that chief. I want to find that chief that comes along And he has to have the character, he has to have the discipline, he has to have a lot. And when I look at Lucas and I say to myself, in my current Bafana team, I don't have a Lucas Khadebe. I don't have a Neil Tobin. And they are, what, 2 decades ago, retired? We don't have those players. There's no consistency when we talk generation to the next generation. You understand what I'm saying? And I think we need to develop generation to the next generation of players. Players who look behind them and say, those people were before me. They're not going to be better than me going forward. I have to be better than them. That's what I'm looking at.
So, thank you very much, Coach, for coming through. And I thoroughly enjoyed this. And there's a lot of pearls of wisdom. And I hope everybody at home enjoyed this. And if you did, please do subscribe. Hit that notification bell, like, comment, and share the link as well. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in to yet another special episode of Disky Talk with Luyolo. Signing out.